Shalom, this is Eli Rothberger. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua and Text of the Daf series. Today's shiur is on Masechta Sukkah Daf Yud, and the topic is the DoubleTree Hotel. What we'll be doing in this shiur, Be'ez Hashem, is understanding Machlokas and Aganata. And how Machlokas and Aganata can also be viewed in the same way that we view Machlokas and Halacha. Now, our Gemara mentions many Aganatos and Daf Yud, one of the more famous ones, which we're going to use as an example, comes describing the practice of Avram that we're so familiar with. The Torah tells us, Vayita Esha Be'er Sheva, Avram planted a quote-unquote Esha Be'er Sheva. The question is, what does an Esha mean? So Amar Rish Lakish Melamish Asa Pardes, we see that Avram made an orchard, V'not Bo Kolmini Megadim, and he planted it in all kinds of delicacies and fruits, fruit trees. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia, also from Machlokas, Chad Amar Pardes, one said it was this orchard, Chad Amar Puntak, other said it was a little bit of an inn. Skipping down a little bit, the Gemara continues and says, on the rest of that pasuk, Vayikra Sham B'Shem Hashem Kelalom, that Avram called there in the name of Hashem. So what does this mean, Vayikra Sham, Avram called there? So Amar Rish Lakish Al Tikri Ayikra Ela Vayakri. Even though the pasuk is written as Vayikra, one could take the same letters and interpret them differently as if it's written Vayakri. He dictated. What does that mean? Melamit Shehikri Avram Avinu L'Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram kind of dictated or put the name of Hashem Befekol Over V'Shav in the mouth of everybody who came and passed. What does that mean, Ketzan? After people ate and drank, they got up to bless Avraham. Amar Lahem, he said to them, what you really ate from me? You really ate from Hashem. Hodu v'shavchu v'varchu, praise, thank, and bless. L'misha Amar v'haya olam. Go bless Hashem. So what comes out from this Gemara is that Avraham set up something, either an orchard or many trees. Sorry, an orchard with many trees, or he built an inn. In both cases, Avram would use the food that he prepared to feed his guests, and he would encourage them to bless Hashem. It was of these people where the famous Geirim and Gioros that Avram and Sarah converted come from. As we learn in Chazal and Rashi, it was an Ephesh HaShorosu B'charon, that, or later on actually, this happened later on also, Avram converted people before, but this is the idea where we see the concept of Avram Megayiris HaAnoshim, the Sarah Megayiris HaAnoshim, it's not from the Pasuk Nefesh HaShorosu because it was after, but we see that Avram converted the men. Sarah converted the women, and we have a beautiful teaching into their lives. The question, though, is regarding this machlokas. There are two items that need explanation. Number one, what exactly is the question over here? Usually, machlokas is a conceptual. There are two ways to understand something. For example, if we take the first machlokas in Shas and Maseches Brachos, where we have Rabbi Elazar saying you could say Shema till Kriya till Ashmur Arishon, the first third of the night, and Rabbi Gamliel saying we say Shema all night. We see that the machlokas over there is understanding the word b'shachbacha. Is b'shachbacha mean the time when people sleep, or is it when the time that people go to sleep? There are two different ways to understand the pasuk. There are no two ways to understand. It's either an orchard or it's an inn. This would be a machlokas in the Metzias. Either it happened one way or the other. We don't usually have that when it comes to machlokas. Usually machlokas is conceptual. So there's a way that we can go ahead and find a conceptual understanding of this machlokas. Second, both shitos come to the same conclusion, that this tool of this eshel, whether it's a punduk or whether it was a pardes, were there to encourage people to bless Hashem and become geirim. So what exactly is this machlokas? So the truth is a machlokas and a gadata is very much like a machlokas and a lachar svara, where you have different understandings of how to view about something. But before we go to the actual machlokas, let's dispel the easy question that we can ask on the man the umber who says punduk that it was an inn. After all, the pasuk says vayita eshel, which means vayitas and he planted. Clearly, you plant an orchard, you don't plant an inn. So how does the puntak site get off the ground in the first place? So this question is actually asked by the Gemara. Here's the questions and the words of the Gemara, and the Gemara that the answer goes on to, and the answer the Gemara goes on to give. Bishlaman Laman Diamar Pardes Hano Dirsi Vayita. Alaman Diamar Puntak Mai Vayita. So the Gemara answers, Kidirsiv Levi Pasik and Sefer Daniel Vayita Ohalea Pando Vegomer. And he shall plant, or he planted, the tents of his palace between seas and Buda's holy mountain. The rest of the pasuk means, and he shall come to his end, and none shall help them. So we see that Vayita is being referred to an ohel. So the truth is, once we see this is the case, Vayita Eshel, Vayita Ohel, we can ask back on the man there, which says Vayisha Eshel is a pardes, that here clearly we have an interpretation of a pasuk, another area, where Vayita blank is referring to a specific structure. So why would they say Vayita Eshel is referring to trees? Maybe it is referring to the puntak based on the same idea that we have in Sefer Daniel. We're allowed to go ahead and have different interpretations of the pasuk, keep going beyond the regular pshat, if we see it does apply in other areas as well. So the Minchas Kenos explains that the word ohel also means spice, also means referring to planting. And where do we see it? In last week's parsha, Parshas Balak, one of the brachos that Balak gave, that Bilam gave to Bnei Yisrael, were ka'alim atar Hashem. This is referring to what we know as aloe. So we see the interpretation angle could go either way. Vayita ishal could mean a plant, it could mean a puntok. So therefore we have to go to some conceptual difference between the two points. What conceptual difference could there be? So let's first take the most simple answer, and the most simple answer I saw is brought down by the Ion Yaakov. It's a very simple take on it. And really, the psukim indicate that it could be both. And the fact is, Avram did build both. What do I mean? He built a pardes, or the orchard, in order to provide for his guests in the summer, where they can benefit from the shade that it provided. And the puntok was built for his guests who came in the winter. This provided them with the necessary shelter to protect them from the elements. So the truth is, fits in very well. One says it was a puntok, one says it was a pardes. Both are correct because they were used at different times of the year. And both ways were used for the same purpose of getting people to bless Hashem. That's how the Ion Yaakov understands it, and it fits in very well. Except the Karen Over explains that also, same idea, there was no machlokas, but rather each is a metaphor to explain what Avram accomplished. Remember, Avram was the first monotheist. In fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim mentions that Avram discovered Hashem at 40, and now writes, V'chevan shehikir v'yada hiskru lahachiv tshuvos al b'nei urkastim v'la rochdini mahem. He started to get involved in discussions with the people of his hometown. V'lomar she'ein zo derech emes she'atam holchim ba, that Avodah Zarah is not the proper path that you're going in it. V'shiver hatzlamim, broke the idols, v'hiskru lo'odiyah la'am she'ein royal avodah l'loka ha'olam. And he began to make known to people that it's not proper to serve idols, but rather serve Hashem. And that we should recognize Hashem. And this is something that Avram continued through his entire life. How does this relate to over here, this machlokus, about whether the Eshel is a orchard or whether Eshel is a paradise? So the answer is, what did Avram do through his teachings? So we see that it was really a two-step process. What do we mean? The first thing Avram did was he made a paradise. A paradise is an orchard. An orchard has roots. And what he did was he planted the seeds inside all the people that the idea of believing in Hashem should take root, spread out, and lead to other growth. This is the idea of the paradise, and that was the first step. The second step was to get a punduk, to provide a place where we can all gather and discuss the greatness of Hashem. So once Avram planted the seeds of Amun in people, that would be the Eshel. He then went ahead and built the pundak to give people the place to discuss it. And that's where they went to bless Hashem. And that's where we see how things worked and how Avram was able to encourage people to serve Hashem. So also from the Karen Aura, which we just saw, we see that there really is not a machlokas necessarily. It was either this or either that, but rather two steps to a process that took place for people to recognize Hashem. The Maral actually explains that it is a machlokas, but the machlokas is completely conceptual, completely metaphorical. What do you mean? The question is, what was the position or the approach that Avram used at that time? So let's take a look for a second. The Gemara uses the word paradis. Avram planted a paradis. The word paradis, the Maral explains, is that paradis also represents understanding of Torah. How do we know this? So we see in other places, especially in Maseches Chagiga, the famous story with the four Chachamim who went to study Pardes. Pardes stands for Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. The four components of the Psukim of Torah, the simple meaning, the hints to Chazal, the exegetical interpretations, that's the Drash, and the Sod, the secrets of the Torah. According to the Maan D'Amar that says that Avraham planted a Pardes, they feel that the way for Avraham to get it to the people was to teach them Torah and to teach them belief. And the first thing you do in order to go ahead and mekarev somebody is you teach them about the power of Torah and teach them the proper ways to think. Once you teach them the proper ways to think, so then everything else later falls into place and they begin to think like a Jew and act like a Jew. Think like a firm person, act like a firm person. The Maan D'Amar who says a pundak says, no, that's not the answer how you do it. It's the other way to do it there. In other words, you build something, you feed them, you show them chesed, you do kindness, and then after you're kind to them, and after you show them how a firm Jew acts, then you teach them the ways of the Torah. And a proof to this is because what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that Avraham went in and did this to a tent called the Older Shah. He built this plinth and fed everybody who came and went. Interestingly, it doesn't say the tent called Avraham, it's called Older Shah. What does this mean that called Older Shah? Older Shah could be anybody. It doesn't make a difference in their intellect. It doesn't make a difference if they were intellectual, if they were wise, if they were foolish. Either way you look at it, these are the people that Avraham went ahead and helped feed. And he took care of it for everybody. So really what you have over here is a machlokas as to which is the preferred way to become people. Is it via learning first or is it practice? Now, of course, both have their merits and both have their positives. I'm not going to say that either one is right or either way is wrong. The question is, what is the first step that one should take? Now, if you take this a step further, we could perhaps take the words of the Ein Yaakov, where he said earlier that really it wasn't the machlokas, but the whole idea was seasonal. We can metaphorically say that when we're talking about something seasonal, it's not just seasonal in terms of the winter or the spring, but it's actually seasonal in terms of a person themselves, because there's certain people that respond better to the intellectual aspects. There's certain people that respond better into the ritual or the doing aspects. And even within a certain person, at a certain point in their life, or a certain point in the day, or a certain point in how they're feeling, they'll respond more to the ritual. There are other people who will respond more to the intellectual. Either way you look at it, the way the Maharal explains this is that there's actually my focus is which is the way that Avraham chose to be Makari. So you see that this is would actually fall in to a category of a machlokas that we normally have. It's not really a machlokas in this year. The question is on which is the preferred method. And we definitely get an interesting insight in terms of how we approach both the throne, the not yet throne, and also even the throne in terms of when we want to educate people, when we educate our children, when we educate our families, and we have to go ahead. Which one is the main idea? And the truth is, as we see so much alike, there is no black and white answer, but there's always a combination. Know which one to use at the right time. Or Sharon takes a similar but different approach in this machlokas and writes the idea that also it's a question about in terms of doing the kirov, but the question is whom do we focus on first? Which is the idea in Orpi Makariv? Which group of people? The punduk represents special fruits and delicacies that one has. A punduk is an inn, and the paradis represents special fruits and delicacies, more luxuries. A puntuk is an inn where they serve meals and sustain people. That represents the basic necessities. That's how the Aruch Hashem is explaining this. And the question that Aruch Hashem says is to be debated by the Chachamim, debated by the Tanaim, is whom do you go to Makari first? Is it the rich and influential because you go ahead and you grab them, and then they could be the ones who are then, in turn, influence others as well? And in other words, you create an army of teachers? Or do we go ahead and approach the Hamonam and just get the masses? And the more masses we get, that will also increase the movement. Again, it's a strategic question as to whom do we work on or who should be our focus group when we're looking to be Makariv, a large group of people. Again, what we're doing right over here is our approaches and not Piske Halacha. Because the truth is, especially when dealing with people, we all know there is no black and white approach. People are not cookie cutters, and there always is a set of gray. But what we've done over here today is we've seen that this is not just a simple machlokes in terms of was it an inn, a pundak, or whether it was a pardes, but actually we see some principles in terms of having makariv people to Hashem. Is it learning? Is it maisa? Do we go after the masses? Do we go after the leaders? Do we go ahead and say it's really one leading to the other? Do we really take both interpretations? And that's really how we go ahead and take this Gemara, and we see how this Gemara is just more than a little story, but it really has a certain depth that we could really apply to our lives. And that's really how to take all Agadotas, because all Agadotas are really the hidden messages of Chazal through the act of story, through the act of metaphors, to really glean out the way that a person should act. And just to conclude, the beautiful idea from the Vilna Gaon, tells us that the Eshel represents three words. Aleph Shemam represents Achila Shesia Lina. This is what we have, or Leviah. Achila Shesia Lina, no, sleeping. What's called sleeping? Now, for when it comes to a guest, either you have to feed them, you have to give them a drink, give them a place to sleep. There's also Leviah, and you have to escort them out also. And the Gemara explains through this, Avram was able to misakin three avos that took place in previous times. With the av of the achila, Avram was able to go ahead and correct what was done with the achila of Adam Rishon by eating from the Eitz HaDaas. With the shin or the shisiyah, Avram was able to correct the mistake that Noah made by drinking the wine. And with the lina and levia accompanying the guests and having them sleep over, Avram was able to go ahead and correct the sin of the Bnei Sodom. No matter how he did it, one thing is clear. Avram brought unprecedented good unto the world, benefits from which we glean from today and beyond. And the question is, taking these lessons from Avraham and applying it, how we approach not only others, but also we approach our own growth and development. Kol Tov, have a wonderful.